This is the BritLit podcast with dramatic readings and dialogues from British literature.
Okay, well, here we are.
Oh my god.
This is fourth period British literature. And we are continuing our conversation. You guys missed out. In second period, we talked about some of the other propaganda techniques. We talked about ad hominem, euphemism, and glittering generalities. And today, we're going to talk about a couple more propaganda techniques that we've been studying. What propaganda techniques are we doing today? What did you guys look at?
Oversimplification.
Oversimplification and faulty cause and effect reasoning. So let's start off with logical fallacies, because in a lot of ways, a lot of propaganda is a logical fallacy. It's essentially not following proper logic. But who can give me a definition of logical fallacies?
I can.
All right, give it to us, Heather.
Logical fallacies are basically an error of reasoning. And if someone will try and take a side, try to convince someone else of what they believe, but typically it has a faulty reasoning that follows. So, like, A equals B or B equals C, so A equals C. But just because A and B equal and B and C doesn't mean that A and C.
All right, I failed math, so...
Is that the Pythagorean theorem?
Yeah. Is that the Pythagorean theorem there?
Pythagorean theorem.
Okay.
Well, okay, so that makes no sense to me. Give me an example of a logical fallacy.
A squared plus B squared equals C.
A equals B, B equals C.
Well, there's one where it's talking about two different countries' birds. It's the same species without the same subspecies.
Okay.
And so it's talking about how they're declining in their subspecies for one of them, and that doesn't necessarily mean that the other one is declining too.
Right, so making those connections, those logical connections. Good. What are some other logical fallacies you guys found? Were there any other?
I found logical fallacies used in commercials a lot.
Okay, such as?
For new TVs and digital cameras.
Okay.
And a lot of them would be like a girl coming out of a television for high definition.
Okay.
And Anna Kournikova holding a little tiny camera, but there's a full shot of her. And it says the camera's nice, but she's not bad either.
Okay.
And
what's the logic there? What are they trying to...
They're trying to capture, like, the full essence of the new, tiny, but has good quality camera. But then you see Anna Kournikova, and the focus is on her.
You're like, forget the camera.
Right.
and then there's...
I forget the camera. Me too.
Then
why is it all the girls are forgetting the camera?
there's my first picture.
We're losing our clean rating on iTunes here.
And then there's one for the new Honda Pilot that there's Honda... Pilot sitting in the background, and then there's a man in a sleeping bag cuddling with a tiger, and it says as close as you can get to nature, and it's just trying to, like, give off the idea, you know, how good the car is with, like, roads and outdoors and stuff like that.
Apparently tigers
in general, tigers and men don't cuddle.
Okay, so it's making these logical connections that aren't logical. They fool the reader. Do they fool?
No.
So the guy really loves
well, it
the
depends.
Lion,
like
the
Anna Kournikova one obviously does.
We
but the tiger
more.
One doesn't.
But you don't go out and buy the camera because she does it. You might.
I would.
Well, we talked about that. We talked about that Sprite commercial the other day, and we talked about that.
Commercial.
Yeah, a lot of people. You know, we say that. You know, Sprite has all these commercials that, you know, we're hip hop, we're urban, and people say, well, I don't buy that, but Sprite is the fastest growing, you know, fastest selling soda. So, you know, people buy into it if they're subtle. Did you guys find in politics and history that people use logical fallacies?
Yeah, there's some really bashing Bush, and there's one where it has him making a speech and it's saying Hispanics working together, but obviously they're not going to be working together as the presidential election goes on. He's
right.
Just saying that so that they'll like him and vote for him.
I thought it was interesting in looking at some of the stuff you came up with that propaganda isn't always commercial. It's not always a print ad. It could just be an image. I mean, you found that image. What was that image from a news coverage?
I think so.
Yeah, describe the image.
He's giving a speech, and some people working with him are behind him, and obviously none of them are Hispanic at all.
Right.
So he's not actually supporting them, and it just says Hispanics for Bush, and then there's a sign in front of him that says Working Together.
Right. So they're kind of trying to portray this image here. And it's interesting, a lot of these striking images. Does somebody find, there was an image I saw of John Kerry. Did you guys see this one? There's a picture of John Kerry and two of his like supervisors, and right behind him, there are these big banners hanging down.
Oh, that was me.
Yeah, it was a news shot. Do you remember what it said?
No.
One of the banners said equality, one said education, and one said opportunity. And, you know, here's John Kerry standing there with his two constituents and these banners right behind them, you know, these words, total glittering generalities, you know, these words that everybody identifies with. And so people start to associate, you know, those good words with those people. And, you know, just an image. All it was a news shot. So those were some of the logical fallacies. One form of logical fallacy is faulty cause and effect reasoning. Somebody tell me about that. What's faulty cause and effect reasoning?
Faulty cause and effect reasoning essentially is there's no logical cause given for the effect. It's very persuasive because it seems so logical, and it's usually associated with superstition, not always.
Okay. So, for example?
An example would be, after I came to the office, the rate of inflation dropped to 6%.
Okay.
Another one is, it rained today because I washed my car this morning.
Anybody use?
Yes. I've never heard that.
Always. Funny.
Every time I wash my car, it rains.
I didn't...
mine doesn't get washed.
I didn't do my homework, so Dr. Smith was giving me a pop quiz. Right?
Yeah.
Anybody use that?
He was in class.
So, what were some examples? Those seem a little bit, those superstitious ones seem a little bit far-fetched. Do people really buy those? Or, I mean, what kinds of faulty cause and effect reasonings are used in advertising?
Well, I was flipping through my Popular Mechanics and I found two. And the first one says, it's a picture of a flashlight for outdoorsmen. It says, when the sun goes down, the food chain inverts. So pretty much what they're insinuating is, by having this flashlight, you can survive any lion attack or elephant attack.
Right.
Sounds like an attack for both very frequently in South Lake.
No.
You're right. I mean, it's you're going to live a long life in the woods.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the other one I found was for a boating commercial, and it says, dogs need weekends too. So they're saying that, like, that boat, that your dog is become extremely happy, so... Having a boat is the key to your dog's happiness.
So what are some of the other is faulty cause and effect reasoning, is that used in history? Is that something that happens? Like, do politicians use it?
Yes. Like, for one big example that was like all over the news for a while was the one about taking prayer out of school, because many people thought that it was being like, or people, they're being discriminative, or whatever that word is, against other religions and stuff, because they're saying, like, everything's for, like, Christians, like, Christmas, and now people have, like, holidays, like, happy holidays, and winter wonderland stuff, you know, and so they do, and,
How is that faulty cause and effect?
Because, really, it's, like, if they're saying they're being discriminative towards Christians, or towards everyone else, they're, like, leaving the Christians out. The same time by saying that we are.
To no, saying
we're
that.
Just not
that.
Including anyone.
Because, yeah.
Well, if they're cutting out our holidays, I think we should cut out their holidays too.
They do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, and same thing.
Much,
well, what's the result of cutting out the holidays? I mean, is that going to. Is that going to give you the same results that, you know, that you're after? I mean, a lot of people claim that having religious holidays has an adverse effect. You know, is that necessarily a logical follow? Good. What else did you find?
Well, I have this one kind of like quote someone said, and he said, many people throughout history believe society has changed the morality of the nation for the worse. Like, what do you think? They think that over, like, the Christian beliefs, you know, like, what was founded on Christian beliefs and all that kind of stuff, and society's, like, changing it. And
interesting. You've got some strong opinions here. So this idea that drawing that result from the idea that the Christian values have had a negative impact,
yeah.
How do you make those connections, right? Kind of assuming those without giving a order to it. Good. And so we've got these logical fallacies like faulty cause and effect reasoning. Another would be oversimplification is a common way of a common propaganda technique. Tell us about what is oversimplification, Rachel.
Oversimplification is just like a process of simplifying something down to the point that it's misleading and provides misrepresentation because it eliminates key facts that you'd need to make a reasonable conclusion. Yes.
So, for example,
it's one example I found came from the BC Society of Skeptic Inquiry, and it says worship has dropped in the past 50 years, and not surprisingly, divorce has shot up. So, couples should pray more to improve their marriage chances.
Okay.
Which may be true, it may not be true, but it leaves out important information and simplifies it to the point that you can't really make a reasonable conclusion.
There's probably a lot more that goes into ruining a marriage than praying.
Right.
Right. There's
probably
a lot more. So that's a massive oversimplification. Good. How else is oversimplification used? What did you guys find? Did you guys find oversimplification in advertising?
Yeah. It's actually, it's kind of used to sometimes to deceive and say, but not always to deceive, but it's used to like it almost takes the place of common sense. Like there's always some commercial on late at night. Have you ever seen it? It's the one with the oven by Ronco. It's like the rotisserie oven where they just say set it and forget
like the
it.
Food,
yeah,
the
where
food,
they say set
Ronco
it.
Food,
yeah. I mean, obviously you don't just set the oven and forget it because it could burn down your house and all that. It doesn't take the turkey out for itself and cut it. So.
But, mine does.
They have like a little star flash, and all of a sudden it's ready. Right?
Yeah. But I'm saying like that's a that's a mass oversimplification of marketing. But there's also, you can get in trouble for, some oversimplification. Like Splenda, their motto was made from sugar, so it tastes like real sugar. And they've been they're in court right now over that issue because it's not actually made from real sugar. I mean, it starts out sugar, but then at the end of the process, it's completely like nothing near real sugar. And other companies like Equal and all that are saying that's false advertising. And that's sometimes how oversimplification works, is as false advertising.
Right.
But
well, there's a speck of truth to it.
Yeah, it starts out as sugar.
Right.
But it gets to the point where it's like loaded with chemicals and all that it has no sugar in it whatsoever.
Right.
And that's been proven actually, and so they've had to take that out of their name, saying that that's not their slogan anymore. They've had to completely get rid of all their old commercials because that was like the basis of Splenda. But the interesting thing is about Splenda is that their sales are still up over any other sugar company, even though they've taken away that logo.
People have already been ingrained with.
And
that.
I think people are getting used to the idea that they're going to try and deceive us and stuff,
right.
But if we're a loyal customer and stuff, they're still going to be producing good products.
Interesting.
That's why the end of the commercial is that the guy talks mega fast.
All of the little side effects.
Yeah.
What's the one that they talk kind of slow? The one in 24 Hour Fitness. The guy talks slow after it. Okay,
yeah,
you haven't heard of it. Never mind.
Well,
he talks slow after
it. He says that he doesn't want to talk fast because he doesn't want to deceive people.
Yeah, but it's funny because he talks slow, and it's like you don't expect that.
You don't want to hear it. How is oversimplification used, in politics and history?
I found a example, and it's called the Laffer curve, and it was a theory used in Reagan's presidency. And the graph basically is a upside down U. And what it symbolizes is the total government revenue against taxation. And there's a quote that it said that with no taxes, the government has no revenue. And they use oversimplification to just mislead people to believe this, graph is, so true. And I also found another.
Well, hold on. Anytime you, and here's a good key. Anytime you reduce the economy into a single graph, and like the trends of how to fix our economy and our tax rates into a single graph, you've got problems. There's probably some oversimplification. You know, is there something? Is there some truth in this graph? Possibly.
Right.
But to say that, you know, to turn around the whole, you know, Reagan economy is pretty much oversimplification. Good. What else did you find?
I found another. There's a little cartoon, and the cartoon has this. It looks like this political leader behind a voting booth. And he's on his podium, and the podium says vote. And then there's a crowd, and the quotation says, "Look, buddy, if you don't like taxes and regulations, why don't you go live in Russia?" And so it just, like, oversimplifies, like, the America, like, economy is not good enough. So if you don't like it, let's move somewhere else, and I don't want to hear your complaining. So
will that fix the problem if you move to Russia?
Not at all.
Right. You're avoiding the issue, you know.
Right.
And we talked about begging the question was kind of one of the ones that we talked about as well. You know, if you avoid any of the topics at hand and kind of push it off, transfer it into something else, then you know, alternate. Now that actually sounds like this guy's quote here sounds like something we heard in Animal Farm. This idea of, you know, if you don't like it, we'll just have Mr. Jones come back. Right, and they use that tactic
right.
a lot. Now, what did you guys find? Did you guys see these propaganda techniques in Animal Farm?
Yeah, for the faulty cause and effect reasoning, the pigs use it a lot when they're trying to convince the animals that since they're like the brainiac animals or
right.
whatever, they need the brain food, which is the milk and apples. And they even go on to say that they don't like the milk and apples, but they need it.
There's a lot, that little line of propaganda has a lot in it. You know, this milk and apples are brain food. There's definitely some faulty cause and effect logic there.
Some logical fallacy.
How?
Well, they are kind of like trying to prove, as the A is like the milk and apples that they need for brain food.
Uh-huh.
Then they have, the B is like, that if Jones come back, they don't do it. And so
okay.
C is that it's ultimately, for their good, that they're eating the milk and apples.
Right.
And so
right. So they kind of totally spin that. There's some oversimplification in there too, isn't there?
The Seven Commandments are a really good example of oversimplification because Old Major had a huge idea to have everybody be free from the oppression of corrupt men and working together and just looking out for the good of one another, and they simplified it to seven things. And after that, even some of the dumber animals couldn't memorize all seven things, so they simplified it just to one thing that was four legs good, or yeah, and two legs bad. And so, like,
what's the problem with that, though? I mean, that was the problem, is the animals couldn't understand it, so they simplified it for them. Isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
So they could understand
that
it.
Part.
So they
was
changed it.
A tiny little bitty portion
spoiler,
of
right.
what they were talking about. Yeah. And they lost all the other stuff that they talked about. And so after they had simplified it by that, then and they had forgotten everything else, then they started changing the other rules. And so then they were just using it to manipulate them.
So all of a sudden it turned into a negative thing. Good. And what else did you guys find out about about propaganda in Animal Farm? Did you guys see any other pieces of propaganda?
Well, some of the other animals actually adopted the propaganda techniques. Like, Boxer, the horse, like one of the hardest working animals on the farm,
mm-hmm.
he like started passing off some of Squealer's propaganda as his own when he would say, like, Napoleon's always right. He made that his own personal motto.
Uh-huh.
And like, and at one time even, they're just finding out that Snowball has like decided he swore on the windmill, actually.
Right, right.
And that it was... Boxer is like actually really questioning this, and he's wondering how he couldn't have done that. He was loyal. He was actually wanting to be his.
Right.
But then he hears Napoleon did it. It's like, well, Napoleon said it. Must be right.
Right. So they ignore any logic, any arguments, and just, you know, bypass, skirt the issue. And this is in advertising all the time. I mean, we see people say, you know, ignore the taste and the quality of this item. You know, look at this. This guy hanging out on the beach having fun, he's holding it, right? So you transfer this this logic here. And, you know, ignore that this guy tore down the windmill. You know, ignore all of these negative things.
It's kind of like that Vault commercial, the energy drink isn't Mountain Dew.
I haven't seen it.
It's like a...
Mountain Dew makes it that way.
Like Monster?
It's like a soda energy drink. And like the commercial is like... He's with his girlfriend or wife or someone on the beach. And some like Casanova guy comes up with like a pearl. And her boyfriend or whatever is getting the vault. And he's like, drink this and put Casanova back in this place. And then goes out in the ocean and like drills for all the pearls. And
that's funny.
What's that one commercial when they ride sharps? Is that the Mountain Dew one too?
I know what you're talking about.
It's my favorite commercial of all time.
What do they do? What's the?
They were just like, they were riding sharks and like jumping up and down, like holding Mountain Dew.
Right.
It's great.
There's another boat one where there's like a dad and like his neighbor's in his yard and he's throwing the football with his kid. And so his dad, like, he has all these plans for his son to be, like, this future pro star. So it shows him, like, mowing down his neighbor's fence and, like, cutting everything down so he can give him, like, 80 yards to throw.
Nice.
And then, of course, just a kid, and he, like, lobs it, like, 5 feet. And
that's so sweet. How many of you guys have bought Vault?
I have.
I bought Vault. Not because of...
I'm a Red Bull.
I see it. Red Bull gives you wings.
It's the
girly
drink.
Oh, I love
it. Another funny example of the faulty cause and effect reasoning is I remember back, and I think it was 2002 playoffs, the NHL had this series of commercials running, like, hockey makes you tough.
Right.
And, like, the one, the guy gets out of his car on the highway, and it's overheated, and he, like, opens the hood, he takes out the radiator cap, and all this, like, burning hot radiator fluid just, like, jets in his face would normally, like, fry you, but... Since he's hockey tough, because he's been watching hockey, just screws it back on like it's nothing.
Right. You guys don't fall for these, do you?
No.
Well, one good thing, though, that a lot of people fall for is, like, shampoo and stuff. If it's in a cooler-looking bottle, you're going to get that instead of a crappy-looking bottle.
Yeah, like, the advertisement, like, the appearance to the eye. It's not necessarily, like, the commercials when you see these people. Yeah. You know they're pretty much fake. But I think when you go into stores... The false advertisement when, like, if it appeals to, like, touch or eyes, like, different senses, you're like, oh, this is better than the other one.
Yeah, like
you
the Fiji water.
You will never see a product with the same bottle packaging as 10 years ago. They're always changing. They're always coming up with something new.
You know, Ifo commercials really get me. I have like five in my phone because I'll be like at 3 a.m, I'll be watching TV and I think it looks great, so I'll put it in my phone. I have Abdur and all those things.
It's like men's razors. They come out with a new razor every week, I swear. Yeah. It's like Quattro Chic.
Because they can associate, everybody likes this idea of new. This idea of something different, right? And so... You know, you ignore the argument, the logic behind it, and just, you know, fall for it. So
you can have your abs like that in 1 week.
Well, there you have it. There's our discussion on propaganda. We are out of here. Tomorrow's our last day of school.
Yes.
So thank you all for listening to the BritLit podcast, and we will. Possibly
never see you again.
Well, we'll see. Keep tuning in. Give us a call.
Later.
You've been listening to the BritLit Podcast, a production of Mr. Craig's 12th grade British literature class in Grapevine, Texas. Check us out on iTunes or leave a comment at the website at BritLit.podomatic.com. Listen in next time for more dramatic readings and dialogues.